Political lines have been redrawn due to redistricting, and what that map looks like as a result of this election is pretty interesting. Here is a fun fact. In key swing states like Virginia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Ohio, President Obama won more than 50% of the vote, but Democrats only won about 30% of those House of Representatives races. What's going on here? Nate Persily, professor of law and political science at Columbia University. The redistricting map looks a little twisted and tortured compared to some of these demographic phenomena that we were just talking about.
Well, as you know, those who are in charge of the line drawing often draw the lines in order to benefit them. And so parties that have monopolies on the line drawing process will often bias the results of those states in their favor. And because the Republicans gained an unprecedented number of state legislative seats in the 2010 election, they were able to have control of about twice as many states as Democrats in the redistricting process.
So redistricting is literally an attempt to roll back demographic realities, and it's getting harder and harder to do, or it's getting stranger and stranger when we see the actual results. 50% vote, but 30% of the congressional districts seems completely out of whack to me.
Well, there's going to be some distortion between the popular vote and the statewide popular vote and the percentage that each party is going to get in congressional districts. Some of that's due to manipulation of the line. Some of that's also due to where people live. So the Democrats, for example, are inefficiently distributed in the population. So they end up having votes wasted by being concentrated in cities.
Democrats need to get out more.
Well, to move out more, you might say. So that it's if you were to draw a grid on a state, it's often the case that you're going to end up having districts that corral together many Democrats but more efficiently disperse Republicans in the suburbs and rural areas.
Nate Persily is professor of law and political science at Columbia University. And we should know you're right in the middle of all this. I mean, and there's stuff you really can't talk about. But I want to underscore that to say that this is a question of voting rights on some level. This entire system possibly raises an issue that will be taken to the U.S. Supreme Court. Explain.
Well, we have we're going to find out very quickly whether the Supreme Court is going to consider the constitutionality of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. And that is sort of the crowning achievement of the civil rights era passed in 1965, which gave the federal government the ability to say no to certain redistricting plans and other voting laws, particularly and not exclusively in the South, if they discriminated against racial minorities. They did that in particularly in Texas this time, where they held up the redistricting plan there. Other southern states also sort of have the Department of Justice looking over their shoulder when they're drawing these lines. And the Supreme Court, I think it's not unlikely that they're going to strike it down, and so that we'll end up with taking away that piece of legislation.
Do you see in the politics of the state legislatures going forward a pendulum shifting in a different direction, in that success of the Republicans, we're seeing that come to fruition now, but perhaps in future cycles, the pendulum shifts as Democrats gain control of these state legislatures.
Well, one of the problems, though, is that the state legislatures also draw their own lines. And so the Republican state legislatures not only gerrymandered the congressional districts, but also their own seats, and also the Democratic state legislatures. Let's be clear that this is a bipartisan.
Yeah.
Malady here that the Democrats just didn't control as many seats as they had previously, and so therefore they didn't gerrymander as effectively as the Republicans. In the end, what happened in this congressional cycle and is that the Republicans reached a high watermark in the 2010 elections. They were not particularly greedy with their redistricting, but what they did was try to shore up those incumbents who had won in 2010, and the Democrats just couldn't compete in a lot of those states.
Has there ever been an attempt to nationalize the drawing of congressional districts to take it away from the states?
Not to nationalize. We do have some federal legislation that requires that there be single-member districts. Sometimes people think, well, congressional districts are part of the Constitution. They're not. It's actually just by virtue of federal law. But there are state restrictions that provide for independent commissions. California was most notable this time. There are other state laws that prevent partisanship from being used in the process. Florida passed that through referenda last time. So there are different experiments that are going on in states with redistricting authorities.
In many, many ways and on many levels, the map is awash with change, demographic and political. Nate Persily, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Nate Persily is professor of law and political science at Columbia University. Oh, yeah. Later this hour, we're talking about a face-off, you might say, between two back-to-back movie releases, Skyfall, the new James Bond movie, and then Lincoln, about, of course, Abraham Lincoln. So which is it for you? Who do we need at this moment? Hollywood seems to have randomly put both of these characters in front of us, but are you a Bond person or a Lincoln person? John on Facebook can't really decide. He writes, both, seeing Bond in 20 minutes, seeing Lincoln in a week and 20 minutes, Friday morning movies. It's for the self-employed and the underemployed. Which are you, a Bond or a Lincoln person? Who do we need in times like these? Call us at 8778-MY-TAKE to weigh in on this conversation or anything else you hear this hour.